It's really good to be with you again. I'm thankful for you, my church online. I'm thankful for you and all that I get. Man, I got so much response from last Sunday's sermon, from in-house and also from you all, and I want to thank you for that. And I thank you for your encouragement. I want to give it back to you, okay, in encouragement. We're going to look at Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. If you want to find your device or get your Bible and follow along with us, it's Psalm 59, 16, and 17. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the chance to preach and encourage. Lord, what I do is absolutely against the counsel of the world. It's your counsel, and I believe in you and who you are. And I ask that you help me to be so plain that a child would understand me. I ask you, Lord, to give me words of knowledge to speak to you and to speak to people about you, about their situation personally, about them personally. If you give me those words of knowledge, Lord, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you will remind me of everybody watching or in service on Sunday. I'm the one under a great judgment, a more strict judgment than anybody can ever give me, because I'm a teacher of your word and I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and preach. Amen. I'm in a focus now with you and our in-person attendance on Sunday just about being strong during this time. I'm going to hit some things that I see, and I want to be able to speak to those in your life and then let you see how God's word responds to that. So I'm going to be dealing with strength. Psalm 59 is a psalm. And we know that psalms are actually songs, hymns. And David is authoring this and singing this. He said, God, Psalm 59 is a picture that God is my stronghold, our stronghold, and that he is sovereign over everything, including our enemies. Verses 1 through 5 have a picture of him being surrounded by his enemies. They're wicked. They practice sin. They even set up ambush, he mentions. Verses 6 and 7, he describes his enemies as a pack of dogs. They're prowling. They're predators. They're looking for prey. They're snarling. They're slobbering. They're just ready to pounce. He says his enemies look like that. Then he switches verses 8 through 10, and he said, we've got to trust in the Lord. Even with all this around me, people who are out to ambush me, harm me, cause me to sin, want me to sin with them, set up ambush, look like a pack of dogs. He said, in the midst of all this, what do I do? Verses 8 through 10 says he has a trust. Verse 10, I love verse 10. He says, my faithful God will come to me. He announces that even in the midst of his enemies. Then we go to verses 11 through 13. And 11 through 13 are that they're going to self-destruct. There's going to be a decline. I feel like I'm watching that part of in our nation. I don't live anywhere else but this nation, so I really don't get a glimpse or a view into any other culture on any other continent than the one I'm in. And I see that happening, that sin, sinful lifestyle, wickedness, all that's involved in that, will lead to a destruction from within, verses 11 through 13. Then we go to verses 14 and 15, and the dog pack returns. It is seems like you can never get rid of them, right? They're after you. You go to a time with the Lord, and then it seems like they're after you again. You can't shake them. It just seems like I'm constantly around that scenario. But I want you to know that what you can't get rid of, what you can't get rid of is God's faithfulness. That's what you can't get rid of, is that he is absolutely faithful. And then our focus today is on verses 16 and 17. And we give the Lord praise with all this going on in David's life. Actually, it's a picture of a time when Saul is after David. And he's being set up and ambushed and all kinds of things. Surrounded by enemies, they look like a pack of wild dogs. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I still see the pack of wild dogs. They're after me, but God's faithfulness is greater. And David says, I turn into singing praise to the Lord. You and I are in unprecedented times. Never been here before. I've never led in this situation before. We're trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm asking the Lord to help me navigate. Some of what I think He's giving is different. How do I get you to thinking about not being on a campus to thinking about progressing the kingdom of God? How do I do that? Where you are. I feel like a direct need in asking Him to navigate me is to teach you how to walk with the Lord and to walk with the Lord without all the stuff that we were used to. How do I do that with programs or groups or whatever? How do I teach you from a distance to walk with the Lord more than daily, moment by moment with the Lord, walk with Him? How does that happen? That's really how I'm asking the Lord to navigate. In this season of our life, this pandemic, I'm asking God to intervene. My personal prayer and then my corporate prayer with you all is that we find a cure for the virus. We find a cure for worldwide, not just our nation, all over the world. And then my next prayer is that He cure our hearts. And I'm asking you to join me in those prayers. I'm looking for a vaccine and a cure. I'm looking for the Lord to heal our hearts and our land and all that's involved with that. And I ask you to join me in that. But if He doesn't do it as immediately as we ask, if He doesn't do it, I'm just going to tell you what I see and what I hear from people. And that is, we may have another year with this pandemic. Do I want that? No. Do you want that? No. That doesn't help me to stop praying for a vaccine and a cure from this virus and from the way our hearts are. I continue to do that. I continue to ask the Lord to intervene. But if He doesn't, the talk that I'm hearing from people who are in healthcare is that it may be another year. If that is true, I'm not saying it is, I said if, then we're not even halfway through this pandemic. December will be a calendar mark of halfway if this is true. So I'm tired. I'm just going to tell you, I seem energetic today. I'm tired. I'm tired of making decisions. I'm tired of having to deal with even things that are in my family. My wife and my daughter are on the front lines. Me and you can have a conversation about COVID and healthcare and what it is and what it isn't. You just need to understand my response may be a little different because my wife and my daughter are on the front lines of this thing. So it may seem a little different when you talk to me about it because of where they are. Not only that, Julie has elderly parents, and we are guarding them like many of you all are. And Andrew, our son, who is a pastor, how do we lead in this? God is the shepherd. How do we as under shepherds? We even have questions as we communicate with people throughout our church. Is even going to make it? I mean, literally. I'm talking about physically. Are they even going to be able to make it? And I'm seeing all this just from my context and my angle. My decisions as a leader affect other people, their livelihood. I take this seriously. But here's the point let's just leave me for a moment, okay? You're going through it too, and some of you are going through it far more than I am. But here's the point. If we're not careful, if you and I are not careful, our anger over this virus interrupting our lives, it will spill over to people that we love dearly. Are you listening to me? If you are not careful, I know where your anger is. I get it. It's over the interruption that has happened because of this pandemic. If you're not careful, the anger that we may have over this virus will spill over into some of the people and towards some of the people we love the most. And even on top of that, over to others. Listen, the tension is thick. It's thick. I see it everywhere. And sometimes the tension is even around those that we love so, so much. I'm telling you to guard your heart. I'm telling you and asking you to be gracious. Be gracious with people in our conversations. Be gracious. Try to understand what they're going through as much as possible. And in our anger is there. I mean, heck, I got to be honest with you. Half the time I get my steps in that I need for a day because I forget to get my mask. And I do wear a mask when I go into public places. I do. What you do is your choice, but that's what I do. And I'll get to the door and turn right around and have to go back to the truck. And it makes me mad. You know, that old virus, you know, you understand. Then you're upset. You take it out on somebody else. Please guard that. We are representatives of the kingdom of God, of graciousness and peace. And may we live and work in that. So you're asking the question, what do I do? What do I do? Last Sunday's sermon, I had a question. And that is, do you look for things in other? You look for other people, and do you look into other people's lives to what only God can do? And I think the answer is we do that, and we got to sit still enough and look at our own life to see that. So here's what I'm going to give you. It's going to pop up on the screen with you, and it's going to be an easy way to follow. It's alliteration with the letter P. One is we got to pray. Pray for a virus and a cure. Pray for a cure, a vaccine. And then pray that our hearts would return to the Father. Number two, be patient. David has got his enemies all around him in this psalm. Enemies all around him, all over the place. He trusts in the Lord, and then they're back. They're back around him again. We're patient. We have to wait. Now, what am I waiting on? I'm waiting on the Father to act. I'm asking the Father. We handle that with prayer. I'm going to the Father. I'm just going to tell you one thing, the virus has done in the pandemic. I'm spending incredible more time with the Father. And I hope that you are too. I'm praying. And I've got to learn to be patient. That's what David is even saying in this psalm, that I know that my God will come to meet me, my faithful God. That's Psalm 59:10. The third thing is that we have to pace ourselves. Even God raised up Moses' father-in-law to come and speak to him and just tell him that he needs to slow it down. You need to pace yourself in your leadership. We know that patience and pace can go together. They look like they're the same thing. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But in that, learn to be able to pace you all and who you are and what you're doing and how you're leading your families. And the fourth and the final thing, what do I do, is that we give praise. At the end of the Red Sea rules, the closing sermon was that we give praise to the Lord. And Andrew, my son, came and finished off that series of giving praise to the Lord. And I know if you're thinking properly right now, you're going, hey, preacher, we're not through the pandemic. We are not through our Red Sea. You're right. We're not. Some are saying it could last another year. If that's true, and I say if, then December is the halfway point. I'm telling you, of praying, of being patient, of pacing yourself, but we've got to give praise. Why? I go back to verse 10. My faithful God will come to meet me. In the midst of everything around me, my faithful God will come to meet me. No, we're not through our pandemic and the Red Sea pandemic. We're not through that. Even though they gave praise at the end of that when they made it through, we are going to give praise in the middle of this pandemic. So I want to go back to verses 16 and 17. He says, "But I will sing of your strength and will joyfully proclaim your faithful love in the morning. For you have been a stronghold for me, a refuge in my day of trouble. To you, my strength, I sing praises because God is my stronghold and he is my faithful God." Look at verse 16. It says, "But I will sing." I want to tell you, I love to sing. I do. I can't sing, but I love to sing. I tease Logan. I used to tease Drew, our worship pastor, anybody, about they won't let me lead. Well, they don't need to let me lead. But I love to sing. And I sing at home. I've got a wife that's classically trained, basically has perfect pitch. And she's just like, "Honey, you know," and but I like to sing. Not that I want to do it in a platform, so to speak, but I do love to sing. I'm going to give you a challenge today. In verses 16 and 17, David sings of God's strength. He sings that God is his stronghold and his refuge. He sings about his love. He sings about his faithfulness. In verse 17, he says, "I sing praises." And the actual Hebrew part of that is, "I will raise a song to you, God. I will raise a song to you." When I heard that, I went back to my heritage, really, and the old hymns. And I went back to the hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy." You know, "Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, my song shall rise to thee." Reading this in verse 17 just took me back to one of the lines out of that hymn. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to find out what your song is. What is your song? To a lot of the ladies, you probably have one. To a lot of the men, they're scratching their head. I have one. I have a song. I'm telling you to take this song and will you raise it to the Lord? I'm asking you to treat this as a spiritual discipline. Sing it to him. David is singing about God's strength, his stronghold, his refuge, his love, his faithfulness. I sing praises. I lift my song up to you. So what is your song? I'm asking a legitimate song with title and notes and lyrics and verses and all that. What is your song? Then raise that song up to the Lord, not at the end of the pandemic, right in the middle of it. Just like David in Psalm 59, we're surrounded by all kinds of things that are just interrupting our life. Sing a praise to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Raise up a song to him. Let your whole family know what your song is. We don't sometimes have those spiritual conversations with our own family, let alone anybody else. If you are a mom and a dad out there, tell your kids what your song is. And then tell them why that is your song to him. Let them hear the story about the song and the story behind the song. I know Tyra's signing, but I can feel a big old amen getting ready to come out of her.
Yes, amen.
So my point is, what is your song? Lift it up to the Lord in your quiet time, in your prayer, early in the morning. Raise your song up to him. And not only that, tell your family what it is. Tell your spouse what it is. Tell them why it is what it is and the story behind it. Let your kids know it. Don't wait till they go to your funeral to hear what your favorite song is. Don't do that. Let them hear the story behind it. Let your friends know. Encourage them to sing a song and raise it up to the Lord.
Yes.
Tell the story behind it. And I know you all are dying for me to sing mine to you, but I love you enough that I won't. I'll just sing it to the Father. It'll be a joyful noise to him. It won't be a bother to you. Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17, especially verse 17, "My song shall rise to thee." Sing a song to the Lord. Don't give him praise when this pandemic's over, and I believe it'll be over someday, but you're going to have to pace yourself and be patient in the midst of that. I'm asking for the Lord to intervene today, but if he doesn't, we've got to pray. We've got to have patience, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We've got to pace ourselves, and we've got to praise. Sing a song to the Lord. Let it rise to Him. Before we dismiss here, I want to thank you who are a part of Anderson and Franklin County for blessing our senior citizens. You bless them with snacks for senior adults that they give to them. Thank you for doing that. If you're away, I know some of you look back home in Green and Taylor, check in with your senior citizens group. Find out what you can do. Lead your church to be able to do that. Check in on people. Find out what you can get for them. Find out what you can do for them. Be useful in those ways. We've got several things coming up between now and Christmas that we can get your family together. And I'm asking you as a family to do these kind of things. You can still bless your senior citizens, a nursing home. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. And I'm asking you to be able to do that as families. God bless you. Thanks for listening to me today. Don't forget, lift your song up to Him. Just sing it to Him, okay? We're not going to wait till we go through the Red Sea and give praise. We're going to give praise right in the middle of it. And as we so often close in the same way, God gives us grace. Make sure you give it to other people. And God, through His Son Jesus, He's the Prince of Peace. And make sure you bestow that upon people. And let's just say it together, okay? I love you. Grace and peace.